white letters on a black background. Polygram Filmed Entertainment. Polygram Filmed Entertainment presents a working title production in association with Stephen Ujlaki Productions. A John Henderson film. Ted Danson, Jolie Richardson, Ian Holm. The blackness breaks out through the surface of iron grey water. Loch Ness. Heavy evening clouds hang above the rippling surface of the loch. Rugged hillsides stand in the distance. Once more the image submerges into blackness. Harris Yulin, James Frayne, Keith Allen, Nick Brimble. Kirsty Graham as Isabel. Casting by Roz and John Hubbard. Associate producer Deborah Haywood. Costume designer Nick Ead. Sound design Mark August. Music composed and conducted by Trevor Jones. A girl aged about 10 stands on the bank looking out at the water.
For hundreds of years, people have come to our village trying to solve the mystery of the law. Dr. Abernathy was one of them, until the night he had a terrible accident. We didn't know it then, but that night was going to change our lives forever.
The girl, Isabel, runs off along the bank. In the village pub, locals watch a slightly built man in his 50s throw a dart and get a treble 20.
Is that a good one?
Oh, a very good one.
The man covers one eye and throws another.
Yeah! Nice one here.
A grey-haired man stands up.
Are you all right, Dr. Abernathy? Dr. Abernathy, are you all right?
Yeah, I just need some air. Clear my head.
Dr. Abernathy leaves and his dark-haired young friend returns his attention to the darts match. Production design, Sophie Besher. Editor, John Gregory, ACE. Director of Photography, Clive Tickner, BSc. Co-producers, Nikki Kentish-Barnes, Judith Hunt. Written by John Fusco. Produced by Tim Bevan, Eric Fellner. Produced by Stephen Ujlaki. Directed by John Henderson. A caption. Loch Ness, Scotland. Dr. Abernathy walks along the bank of the loch. In the pub, the darts match continues. Dr. Abernathy stands on a narrow stone jetty which reaches out into the water. The water ripples and he notices something. In the pub, the small man gets a bullseye. Dr. Abernathy excitedly grabs his camera and takes a photo of something out in the loch, then loses his footing and falls, hitting his head against a rock. The dark clouds hang mournfully over the placid water. A workman uses a jackhammer on a freeway overpass, Los Angeles, California. A brown-haired, rugged-faced man in his 40s drives a battered red 4x4 through the busy city traffic. He stops in a jam, then tries to go again, but the 4x4 won't move. Smoke billows past his window from the rear of the vehicle, and he nods his head philosophically. He opens his door and looks down to see a large pool of brownish-red liquid forming underneath the chassis.
It's bleeding to death.
A tow truck pulls the 4x4 to a large college building and stops. The mechanic gets out, along with the 4x4's driver, Dr. Jonathan Dempsey.
Right, here's good for me.
Dempsey takes out his wallet.
Why don't you tell Eddie down the shop? I'll catch up with him later, all right?
Eddie?
Yeah, Eddie. He's the owner of the place.
We have no Eddie.
Well, all his close friends call him Eddie.
He's my brother.
In Dempsey's office.
You're not listening to me. Hey, Caroline. Yoo-hoo. Caroline. You will get your money.
He lowers the phone receiver. A woman in a white coat comes in.
You look like him.
Thank you very much.
Aren't you supposed to be at a class right now?
Probably.
You know, Mercer is going ballistic. He wants to have a word with you after your next lecture. You know, the one you're not at.
Dr. Mercer's office.
Dean doesn't want you around the campus. Neither do I. However, all is not lost. I have a research position that's perfect for a man of your reputation. Loch Ness.
What?
Loch Ness, Scotland.
I sent Dr. Abernathy. Had an accident. Dead. What's his name? Is still there. His research assistant, Adams.
You want me to go find the Loch Ness monster? Is that what you're offering me, Bob?
No, John. I want you to go to Loch Ness and not find the monster. I want you to take this state-of-the-art equipment and prove that it's the biggest hoax of the century.
What are you doing? You know, you're sticking another nail in my coffin. I can't go there. It'll look like I'm running after another shadow. I mean, the only reason I'm teaching freshmen in the first place is because I chased a no-show monster for 3 years. You know that. Come on, I won't have any credibility left at all.
You don't have any credibility. And now you don't have any career. Unless I say so. What's the problem here? All you have to do is run the sonar up the loch, bring me definitive evidence that nothing's there, and then I get my equipment back. You regain some credibility, and you get paid, John.
Screw the money. I won't do it.
This brave talk for a guy that has to hitchhike home tonight.
Mm-mm.
You know, John, I've got letters on my desk from the IRS about you. Not to mention communications from the lawyers of your ex-wife.
You know, I may be broke, and I may not have any credibility left, but I do have some dignity. That's blackmail, you know that? So why don't you just take the whole lock and shove it?
Dempsey walks out. Gray-haired, balding Dr. Mercer chuckles to himself and picks up the telephone.
Helen? Make that reservation for Scotland for Dr. John Dempsey. Jonathan Dempsey. Yeah, and coach, of course. I don't know. Hold on. John, window or aisle?
Window.
Window.
Without looking, Mercer knew that Dempsey had returned. A small green, blue, black and white passenger plane touches down on an airfield on a cloudy day. The dark-haired young man who'd been sitting with Dr. Abernathy runs over to the plane and looks through a window, then goes to the open doorway where Dempsey is standing.
Dr. Dempsey? Hello, I'm Adrian Foote. Your research assistant.
Dempsey goes back into the cabin and returns with a bottle of scotch.
Oh, I recognise you from that picture in Time magazine where you were on the boat in Madagascar with a lemur on your shoulder, remember? Lost a bit of weight since then, sir. If you don't mind me saying so, it suits you. This is an honour for me. I've read all your books on biodiversity.
They drive past the loch.
Loch Ness. In 500 AD, St. Columbus saw the beastie approaching a swimmer.
Turn back, beastie, let the man be, he's reported to have shouted. It's submerged.
Ever since then, people have been seeing Yak Ushka. That's the horse of the water.
Adrian glances over at Dempsey, who's asleep with his head resting on the car window.
Will you watch out, beastie? Because your man is here.
Later, they're outside a large modern hotel. Dempsey stares open-mouthed at the illuminated building.
Tis. It's very comfortable. And each room is done out in a different tartan. I think mine's hunting Stuart.
A bus is parked outside.
Is there another hotel we can go to?
Not that's open now. It's after the season. Sounds like the Cayley's in high gear, so...
Wait. What's a Cayley?
Well, it's a gathering in honour of all the cryptozoologists.
You're telling me there are Nessie hunters in there?
Aye, I thought you knew. They're all very excited at a chance to meet you. Didn't Dr. Mercer tell you?
Oh, that's perfect.
He walks off.
Good.
Inside, lots of people mingle, and three men in traditional Scottish clothing play a flute, accordion and fiddle. Dempsey looks around.
Danes are here too. They're building a giant cage. The plan to lure Nessie in with 6 tons of breadcrumbs.
Adrian calls over to a tall, lean-faced man with fine, fair hair.
Dr. Muller.
Dr. Muller.
I need a drink.
Dempsey. The John Dempsey, as in Dr. Sasquatch. I think they were wrong about you.
He also discovered and classified an unknown species of wasp in South America.
That's all right.
Won the Tyler Award for that when he was 26 years old. He's won the NSA Award twice.
Well, that was a long time ago. Forget about everyone else.
I read the article about you in Scientific American. I think they were wrong.
Dr. Dempsey, such an honor. Your pursuit of the Yeti was seminal. Mm. Tell me, what is your method of tracking?
My method of tracking? Well, see, what I like to do is locate what I'm after, then I kind of bend down here like this, and then I give it the old zigzag here.
He crouches and runs away from the other academics. Adrian finds him in a corridor.
There is nowhere you can go.
I'm gonna get my rig, do my job, and get the hell out of Dodge.
But at least let me
try. Hey, Adrian! Chill out, all right? Have some shortbread or something. Yeah.
Dempsey gives Adrian his beer bottle and leaves. Next morning, disheveled Dempsey is dozing in the driver's seat of Adrian's little red hatchback. He rests his head on his hand in an uncomfortable-looking position and wakes up.
Damn midget's car.
He flexes his neck, then tries to wipe the rain-mottled window with his hand. He looks at the misty windscreen and pokes around with the dashboard until he finds the windscreen wipers. The wipers clear the window, and he looks out at the rippling waters of the loch, bathed in early morning amber sunshine. Dempsey gazes at the tranquil scene. Suddenly, a woman knocks on his window.
Your car is in the drive.
He looks at the controls.
Oh, no.
He winds down the window.
You realize you're blocking the driveway.
He's in front of the Moffat Arms.
I do now.
Well, what do you intend to do about it?
What do you want me to do about it?
Move it, obviously.
She walks back to her Land Rover.
Did I hear the word please in there? Guess not.
Dempsey moves the car out of the way, letting the woman drive past. He gives a little wave.
Thanks for your help.
Adrian walks with a tall, burly, bearded man wearing heavy work clothes.
This is a very important scientific project. We've a schedule. If we find something living down there, it's going to be very good for your business.
Aye, and what if they don't?
Adrian brings Dempsey over to the burly man's fishing boat.
This is Dr. Dempsey.
Is that a fact? So, Doctor, you want to find the monster, do you?
Yeah, that's correct. But I don't have much time, you know. I gotta get up to Greenland before winter hits. Find Santa Claus, excuse me. So, how much for the boat?
Well, I kind of have it defaced, you see, with all this equipment I see here. That'll make a difference again, so I'll be wanting £20,000. Then I'll buy it back in a week, less damages and 500 a day.
£20,000? You said 10?
Oh, aye. That was for the conquest deck.
Well, I only got a week and I do need a rig. Plus, I love what you've done with the colors. Check okay?
Wearing a wetsuit, Dempsey walks away.
Wait. You can't pay him all that money.
Well, I'm not going to, am I? Mercer is. Didn't he tell you? Spare no expense? Take care of that, will you?
Mottled white and grey clouds drift above rugged green and brown hillsides. Leafy green trees and bushes on a verdant shoreline are reflected in the still waters of the loch. Pretty white cottages stand by the lush foothills of a rocky peak. Wearing a coat over his wetsuit, Dempsey carries a surfboard over to the red hatchback and rests it on the car's roof rack. Hearing the splash, he turns back to the loch and sees a dark shape disappearing under the water. He takes a pair of binoculars out of the car, looks through them, and watches a dog swim across the loch. Suddenly, a face appears.
Did you come to stay with us, Dr. Dempsey?
I don't know. Who are you?
Isabel Mary McFetridge. My mother's Laura, my dog's Bruce. He owns some fishermen home. You'll be in room D. Bye for now.
Young red-haired Isabel runs off. Dempsey looks through the binoculars at the building Isabel pointed at, the local pub, the Moffat Arms. Dempsey, wearing a chunky brown sweater and his hands in his pockets, strolls up to the Moffat Arms. He opens the rustic wooden door and steps inside. A fire crackles in the hearth, and the pub is deserted, save for a white-haired old fella nursing a pint at the bar.
Hello?
Hello?
Dempsey steps over to the bar and looks across at the old man, who doesn't appear to have noticed him.
They opened?
The old man doesn't move or look up. Dempsey tentatively steps through another door beside the bar.
Hello? Hello?
He opens another door and finds the woman from earlier wearing just a skirt and bra.
Hello?
Fisher, German bite.
I'm sorry.
He shuts the door.
I'm sorry, I'm looking for a room for 5 days.
The season's ended. We're not taking guests just now.
Oh. Well, can I see the manager?
I am the manager.
Could I talk to the owner?
I am the owner. Bruce got into some dead fish on the jetty. He likes to roll in it.
Canis lupus courtship behavior. Bruce is on the make.
The woman stares at him, then walks through to the bar.
You still blocking people's driveways?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hello?
You caught me off guard. The little girl said that you were holding a room for me.
Isabel? Oh, she's a wee lass, Mr. Dempsey. We're not accommodating.
Right. Well, let me ask you, ma'am. When you are accommodating, what do you usually get for a room?
£70 a night.
The man at the bar frowns.
Well, let's make it 75, and I apologize for blocking your driveway.
I'm sorry, but we're still closed.
Hey, please, listen, this is the only place. Just for 5 nights, please.
So you'll be another beastie hunter?
Yes, ma'am. Hebnet will travel, that's me. £80, please, come on, overcharge me. It seems to be the national pastime around here.
Hello, Mr. Dempsey.
Isabel. Hey, listen, why don't you work out a room deal with me? Your mom's crucifying me.
How much are you offering?
Isabel.
Well, all right, this is my last offer, though. £90 and no pets in my room.
That's really good.
Yeah, see?
All right. Room D. It's along the landing.
Yes.
Come on, Isabel.
Hey, look at that, room D. Oh, hey, could you...
No, you're too late for breakfast.
Three of these, laddie, and you might catch a glimpse of the beastie.
Well, I think I got a pretty good-looking one, don't you?
Near the jetty, an old lady's buying from a mobile shop.
About four.
Adrian brings Dempsey's equipment onto the boat.
They laughed at the very idea of a dragon in Komodo, and then they found it. Same with the tree kangaroo.
Right over here.
Dempsey's turned one of the cabins into a little control centre.
Same with the mega shark, of course.
Adrian lifts a flight case off a monitor.
And it was the same with your discovery, eh? The Dempsey wasp.
Dempsey turns on the monitors, which show various radar and sonar images.
Satellite mapping system? And that CP500 sonar. I thought only the military had this kind of equipment.
Well, nothing's too good for Mercer's army.
Beer. Nice.
Right.
Dempsey sips from the can of beer. The red-hulled fishing boat with its tall yellow masts sets off along the loch. Lush green vegetation grows across the rugged hills overlooking the loch. The sun shimmers on the calm surface of the water. The fishing boat is now out a good distance from the nearest shore, and the water has become a little more lively. Adrian smiles as he watches footage from an underwater camera.
You can see every mollusk. You can see every inch. We're gonna see it. I know it. How can it not be there?
How can what not be there, Adrian?
Creature.
You know, in prehistoric times, the loch was connected to the sea, Doctor, but it was cut off at some point during the Second Ice Age. Now, any aquatic dinosaur living here would have been trapped.
Trapped in an isolated aquarium, able to sustain itself and escape extinction. It's a nice theory. Oh, come on, man. We get the Discovery Channel, too, you know.
Look, I don't want to seem impertinent, Doctor.
Sometimes it sounds like you believe there's nothing there.
Oh, you're in the ballpark there.
Okay, so the locals need a legend because their livelihood depends on it. But what about the evidence?
It's a large pinniped, maybe a Pleistocene relic.
I believe strongly, Doctor, that what's down here is not a tabloid monster. It's a biological phenomenon.
Come on. Oh, would you give me a break?
As the day goes on, mist comes down over the loch. Adrian looks at a white shape that's appeared on one of the monitors.
Dr. Dempsey?
Nothing on the rear scanner, Adrian.
No, there's something here. I need help to get a fix on it.
Dempsey's fishing.
It's nothing. Probably just a chunk of driftwood or something.
It's too big to be a chunk of driftwood. It's moving!
It's propelled by trapped bacterial gas. Relax.
A log bursts up out of the water behind the boat.
There, see? I told you, it's just a log. So it's just a big damn log.
Dempsey comes inside.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Dempsey looks around and sees a man in a rowboat rowing through the mist.
Yeah, whisker! Whisker! Yeah, whisker! Whisker!
Adrian pokes his head out.
He's the water bailiff. The keeper of the loch. He's been here since 32.
The grey-haired water bailiff rows, a black dog sitting behind him in the boat.
Down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream.
He vanishes in the fog. At the Moffat Arms, Dempsey opens the door of his plain but comfortable room and steps inside. He drops his bag on one of the twin beds, opens the window shutters, and stares out at the rippling loch, washing up onto the bank right outside his window. Somebody's swimming near the narrow stone jetty. The inn's owner, attractive red-haired Laura, steps into the room behind Dempsey and taps on the door.
Dinner is at 7:30, sharp. That'd be extra, of course.
Of course. I suppose the breakfast I didn't have is included in the price, right?
Aye.
Well, that makes sense.
How's your room?
It's nice, yes, very nice.
Are you taking over from poor Dr. Abernathy?
Yeah, I suppose I am.
He was a good man. Such a tragedy. So you're here to solve the mystery of the loch?
There's no mystery to solve.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You're a believer?
Oh, I wouldn't say yes, but I wouldn't say no.
Oh, come on, you can tell me. Have you actually seen it?
Well, when I was a wee girl, I saw a great wake in Urquhart Bay. Three humps came up just beyond the castle there.
Really? See, now that's my personal favourite, the old triple humper.
If you don't believe in it, why did you ask me?
I'm sorry. Is there a shower?
Aye.
Oh, thank God, I am.
But there's no hot water.
Why not?
The dog used the last of it.
I'm sorry?
Canis Lupus used the last of the H2O. He's clean as a whistle now.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that I'm paying £90 a night? That's $140. I don't get the breakfast that I paid for, and the dog gets my hot water?
I didn't know you were coming, and I didn't ask you to stay. There'll be plenty of hot water later. There are your towels.
Oh, thank you. Yes, the towels. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at these. Are you sure that they should be away from their mother?
Laura walks off, ignoring him. In the bar...
I've seen the snow in the wintertime. 5 feet. I'm old grandpappy. 4 feet 11. We never saw him till March.
That's terrible.
Except for his hat. My old grandmother, well, she was quite pleasing.
I'll help you with that.
I can manage times.
Sorry. I mean, I was not suggesting that because you're a woman you're not capable of. Sure, you're more than capable of, as well as being a woman.
Well, if you want to.
Adrian tries to move the barrel that Laura was bringing in. She sees the burly fisherman behind the bar.
What do you think you're doing, Andy?
Look, I'm just pulling one for Duncan. On the self-serve bump.
I'd be obliged if you'd stay your side of the bar, please.
Oh, I do apologise, Miss McFetridge. Only tried to help, I'm sure.
Have you, thought any more about what I said?
Oh, I have, and the answer's still no.
He puts on a brave face.
You don't know what you're missing, Laura.
I have a good idea, and it'll be no loss.
Dempsey finds Isabel sitting at the top of the stairs.
Hello, Mr. Dempsey. Would you like to sit with me?
Somebody who doesn't hate me.
Wow. Actually, I'd love to. Thank you. So, what do you want to do? You want to have a scotch and a cigar?
No, you're funny.
You think so? Oh, good. Well, you want to hear some of my impressions? I do Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse.
Here you go. I used to do a human being, but I'm a little out of practice.
You're a great audience. Okay. Smart stuff. Let's see. It's your turn. No, hey, that was good. That was good. You're a professional, right? What else do you do? Anybody else?
I can do the water kelpie.
Ah, yes, the water kelpie. All right, go ahead. Let me see your Nessie. It's good, but I think it's actually a little more like this.
You're silly. It doesn't sound like that at all.
Oh, great. Right. A little success and all of a sudden you're a critic.
Laura pours a scotch for the old man.
There you go, Tommy.
The water bailiff's sitting at the bar.
What's his story?
Mr. Dempsey. He's taking over, like you said.
Aye, and with more equipment than I've ever seen on the loch.
Aye, but it's strange. He's not another starry-eyed loony looking for a monster. The direct opposite, in fact. He says it doesn't exist.
How long does he stay?
As long as it takes him to prove his point. He thinks 5 days.
The water bailiff knocks back a scotch.
Did he pay in advance?
He turns and walks out. Isabel's standing on the rocky bank of the loch while her dog, Bruce, swims. Shaggy, grey and white Bruce comes out with a stick, which she takes.
Fetch it!
She throws the stick back into the water. Laura walks along a pathway beside the lock and goes into a shop, where a middle-aged lady's examining socks on a hook.
Not for Magnus. Not with his colouring. Good day to you, Laura, and how are you today?
Not so bad, Miss McFarlane. Hello, Mrs. Tate.
Laura. And your lovely Isabel, is she well?
Fine. She's becoming quite a handful these days. Do you have any spare milk today?
Yes.
Mrs. McFarlane gets a bottle of milk.
That'll be for the guest, I suppose.
Aye, the American. He bought a bonny pair of socks. A single man. Very nice. Very good looking.
I thought you'd closed for the season.
I had to, but he made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
So, you'll be staying a time then?
A time, aye.
Is that him out there now?
They look out of the window.
Heavens, what's he done to the boat? Is that some sort of equipment?
Aye. I heard he had equipment.
That'll be Andy's boat he's using.
It is. Does Andy not mind you accommodating?
What's he got to do with it?
Oh, well, nothing. Just I heard that you two had an understanding.
We certainly do not. And whether or not I choose to take in guests has absolutely nothing to do with Andy McLean, thank you.
Laura takes her milk and goes, leaving the two women exchanging smug smiles. Isabel picks the stick up off the bank and throws it back into the loch for Bruce. Bruce wades out a little way, but seems reluctant to swim out and get the stick. The stick floats on the surface of the water, but Bruce just watches it. The large black shape of the hull of the fishing boat cuts through the surface. Adrian and Dempsey are in their control room.
This loch is 25 miles long. That's 263 billion cubic feet of water. That's more water than all the lakes in England and Wales put together that the Dinsdale fishing boat...
That's a raid! Beware! Privates! Why don't you go and invade a small country in South America instead of invading my water, my privacy, and my monster's privacy!
Did he say his monster?
That's Gordon Shoals. He's a total fruitcake. It's been here 16 years now.
The Ides of March! Dr. John Dempsey! The water never gives up its dead!
Yes, I know who you are! And so does that monster! The only bit of her you're gonna see is the inside of her bloody stomach! Because she loves me! She doesn't love you! I talk to her!
Mist thickens on the surface of the loch. Adrian writes notes, and Dempsey settles back in his chair watching his various monitors. A sensor floats in the water to the side of the boat. Dempsey notices something on one of the monitors.
We got company. You expecting anybody, Adrian?
The water churns as the fishing boat cuts through it. Dempsey and Adrian step out onto the deck and gradually make out the shapes of two more boats approaching them.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
The boats are heading right towards them.
They're going to hit us.
Get out of the way of it! Hey!
Dempsey yells at the boats while Adrian jumps into the wheelhouse and desperately tries to steer away from them. Wide-eyed with adrenaline, Adrian manages to steer between the oncoming boats. Poles and rods are snapped off the side of Dempsey's boat, and a cable snaps, forcing Dempsey to jump out of the way of a falling pulley. Dempsey grabs a fire extinguisher and fires it at one of the boats as it heads away.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Adrian comes out.
They're in the whole street!
The sensor seems to have gone from the side of the boat. Dempsey looks at his broken equipment and angrily throws away a disconnected cable. He notices something on the opposite shore and steps up to a higher railing. A castle stands on the bank overlooking the loch. Standing on the rocky hillside beside one of the castle's stone walls is the water bailiff, who leans on a stick and stares back at Dempsey. It's a lively night in the Moffat Arms. The water bailiff's chatting to Andy and a couple of other men.
It's a fact. Listen, in the old days, when a man transgressed, you put him in a barrel and slid him down the hill. And when a woman transgressed...
And was it God Almighty himself deciding the sins, I wonder? Or maybe some local men with fish eggs for brains who acted without thinking?
Don't worry, Laura, your business is safe.
So sabotage makes everything just grand for the community, does it?
And what do you know about the community, young lady?
Dempsey comes in and drops his bag on the floor. He strides over to the water bailiff, who turns back to the bar.
No luck today, Professor?
They tell me you're the law on the water. Is that right?
Huh? Do you know what happened to me out there today?
Caught a cold by the sound of it. Very harsh climate in these parts.
Yeah, you listen up, Scotty. Don't think you got some American patsy to play Highland games with. I'm not going to be run off by a bunch of tight-fisted weenies in kilts. You got me?
Well, now you listen to me, you arrogant young whippersnapper. The people you are speaking of are the Celts. Hung the heads of their enemies from the manes of their horses. You'll never solve the mystery of the Loch. The Creator made it that way, and it is to stay that way.
Chamber of Commerce is behind this racket, Mr. Water Bailiff. This has nothing to do with creation. It's all about the economy.
Oh, and what told you that? Your lenses, your lights, your computers? Well, I'm not a boastful man, but I'll tell you something. I know more about these waters than any of your machines. I was baptized in them, and I am the keeper of them. And I'll tell you something else. This mystery goes all the way back to St. Columba himself, who saw it and stated it in the name of Kirk.
Let's see, would that be Captain James T. Kirk?
The water bailiff looks deeply offended.
You and your puny machines will never destroy 1,400 years of mystery.
I'll tell you what. Come out on the lock tomorrow and you watch me.
Dempsey walks away and the water bailiff knocks back his scotch. Laura watches with a faint smile. The next day, Dempsey strides along a road and down a flight of stone steps. He walks over to Adrian and some other men who are doing their best to repair the damage to the equipment using welding and electrical tape.
Good morning.
Let's do it.
Fine. Don't thank us. We liked being here since 4 o'clock this morning.
Adrian joins Dempsey in the boat's control room.
I'm going to blow this boat out of the water once and for all.
Don't start.
Dempsey presses buttons on his instruments. The boat powers ahead through the lock, the repaired rods stretching out on either side of the vessel and dragging sensors through the water. On the bank, the water bailiff leans on his stick and watches the boat through cold, hostile eyes. On another bank, Isabel also watches the boat make its sweep across the lock. Dempsey keeps check on the screens. A monitor shows a multicoloured 3D image of the deep caverns below the surface of the water.
Turn the aperture correction down to 3, please.
Mrs. McFarlane and the middle-aged chopper watch the boat's progress through the shop window.
He must be halfway up the loch. I don't think he's found anything. I've heard he only eats the whites of his eggs, never touches the yolk.
Laura.
He walks in his sleep, you know.
No. Aye? A lot of Americans do that.
And he sleeps in the nude.
The middle-aged woman's eyes widen. The boat ploughs on relentlessly across the dark grey water. In the control room, Adrian looks at a computerised aerial image of the lock on a monitor. He takes off his headphones.
Maybe the sonar activity has driven it to the far end. I mean, maybe we've got it cornered.
He turns to look at Dempsey. A farmer stands with a small herd of sheep and watches the boat skirt the grassy bank. Outside the Moffat Arms, local men watch from rocks at the water's edge. Andy comes out of the pub and leans in the doorway, drinking his pint and watching the search. The boat carries on across the calm waters as it makes its way back towards the village. The water bailiff looks on, his lips pursed in a stern sneer. The boat reaches the edge of the lock. Adrian takes off his headphones and Dempsey turns off the monitors.
End of loch.
Adrian forces a sad smile and Dempsey pours a whiskey.
End of the Loch Ness Monster.
Dempsey turns off the last couple of screens.
It's over, Adrian.
He climbs some steps out of the control room. The water bailiff sits in a rowboat mending a fishing net. Dempsey drops a stack of readouts beside him.
You want to know what all that means? It's time to rewrite your guidebooks, water bailiff.
The water bailiff completely ignores Dempsey. Dempsey strides along a pathway. Adrian walks beside him, deep in thought.
The computer. The printout showed cracks alongside the lock. And something could have been hiding in there.
Oh, come on, Adrian. If there's a 30-foot dinosaur out in the water, don't you think we would have seen it?
But too many people have testified. Priests and policemen. 10,000 others. You think that's some sort of mass hallucination?
That's not my problem. I did my job as ordered. I proved it wasn't there. Signed, sealed, and delivered.
So it's over then, huh? Because you say it. Well, what would you know about it anymore? You'll not find a dinosaur at the bottom of a whiskey glass.
No, listen to me.
Dr. Negativity, I don't know what you're doing here, but you're no fit to shine the shoes of Dr. Abernathy. You cannot find something you don't want to. Huh? You remember those words? Dr. Dempsey, you should, because you wrote them 9 years ago.
Dempsey goes after angry Adrian.
Hey, come here. Let me say something. Hey, you want to yell at me, that's
fine. You want me to yell at you some more? That's fine, because I'm not finished with you.
Hey, let me just say something first, will you? I've been here, Adrian. I did this. I'm the guy who blew his reputation chasing Sasquatch, remember?
British Columbia, 1986, you found the tracks!
You still don't get it, do you? I am a joke. I'm the guy who chases Looney Tunes, and you think I don't want to find something out there? If I nailed a dinosaur in Loch Ness, I would be vindicated 1,000 times over. I would have it all back. And more. But it's not gonna happen. There's nothing down there. There's nothing up in British Columbia. There's nothing unexplained flying around the skies at night. That is just a wish list, Adrian. Believing is not enough. Don't make the same mistake I did.
Dempsey walks away. Laura's been watching them and looks down sadly. Later, Dempsey sits at the bar with his dinner. Laura and Isabel are eating in their kitchen. Dempsey looks through the open doorway and watches them.
Laura, I'll get to that. Things,
I promise.
I promise. I'll get to them. What else? We have to get milk. Biscuits.
Potatoes.
Dempsey picks up his plate of haggis, mashed potato and turnip and takes it to one of the pub tables. He sits down and arranges his plate, cutlery and a glass of white wine in front of him.
You look sad, Mr. Dempsey. My mummy asked if you'd like to come in over and have dinner with us before you leave. Would you like to come and have dinner with us?
In the kitchen.
This is very nice.
Mr. Dempsey?
Laura looks surprised.
Isabel said that you were expecting me to join you for dinner.
Right. Right, yeah, of course.
Maybe I misunderstood. I tell you, why don't I just take this upstairs and...
No, I wouldn't hear of it, honestly.
They eat, and Laura looks over at Dempsey's untouched plate.
Is there anything wrong with it? You've hardly touched it.
No, it's wonderful. It's just, I wasn't very hungry. Mm-hmm.
He has some haggis.
Have you finished on the loch?
Yeah, I finished.
How come you didn't come on holiday with your wife?
Isabel?
Well, that's all right. Number one, I'm not on holiday. And number two, I don't have a wife.
Never.
You see?
No, I did once.
She ran off.
Yeah, she ran off.
Weren't you really nice to her?
Isabel Mary McFetridge.
As a matter of fact, when I wasn't in the jungle, I was very nice to her. I even discovered a new species and named it after.
Is that true? What did you discover?
A parasitic wasp.
A wasp?
I named it Protus carolinus. The resemblance was uncanny. You laugh now, but I tell you, this is one very dangerous wasp. After it stings you, it hires a lawyer.
Pale-skinned Laura looks at Dempsey with a smile. Isabel studies him with a considered expression.
Ah, well, pub's open. Finish up as you like. I'll clean it off later.
Oh, well, yes, thank you very much.
Laura leaves, closing the door behind her.
She's lonely too.
At the bar.
The winds whistle down the glens at 150 miles an hour. My Uncle Donald, he had one ear bigger than the other, and when the winds blew, it would corkscrew him down into the ground. Your good health,
sir. Stuart, same. Hello there, Adrian. What can I get you?
Nothing, thank you very much. I'm all right. Could I just say that you are looking particularly lovely this evening?
Thank you.
Grinning, he stares and folds his arms.
Will you marry me?
Oh, no. Not tonight. Besides, I make it a rule never to marry anyone who asks me in a bar.
Oh, very wise. Well, perhaps you wouldn't mind passing these on to Dr. Dempsey to take back to America with him. The hotel still had a few of Dr. Abernathy's.
Of course I will, but if you want him, he's in the kitchen.
No thanks. I think I've had quite enough of the great and world-famous Dr. Dinky for the moment.
I have everything you wanted, yes. I have the photos, I have printouts, I have sonar readings, the works.
He's on the phone.
Yes, yes, I realize that.
Ellen.
Yes, I will. I will see you in Los Angeles tomorrow. How do you do that? Do you realize that is 12 in a row? All right, I'll tell you what, here, close your eyes a second. Go on, close them. I just want to shuffle them up here so they're a little different. All right, go ahead, open.
He holds up three cards.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You give up?
You don't have a queen.
How do you do that?
I saw it in a mirror.
Dempsey looks round at a mirror on the wall behind him.
Yeah. Let me just teach you one more game here, all right? Here, all right, here we go. Five cards, go ahead, pick them up.
Adrian stands on the narrow stone jetty.
No beastie.
He tosses a stone into the water. He picks up another stone and hurls it angrily.
No beastie! That's a fact! Dr. Dipstick says so!
The water seems to get a little angrier, then calm down again. With sad resignation, Adrian throws down his final stone. He walks back along the stone jetty. In the kitchen at the Moffat Arms, Dempsey and Isabel are playing cards.
All right, I'll raise you four.
He raises his eyebrows at her.
You're bluffing again, Mr. Dempsey.
That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Good for you.
Look, Mummy. Mr. Dempsey taught me how to play poker. Mr. Dempsey said he'll take me to Disneyland someday.
Yeah, well, forget Disneyland. We're going to Vegas, kiddo.
Bed, please, Izzy, now.
May I kiss Mr. Dempsey goodnight?
You can.
Good night.
Good night, Mr. Dempsey. Thank you for playing with me.
Thanks for taking my money.
Isabel goes and Dempsey stands up from the table.
You taught her poker?
Yes, yeah, I did. I'm sorry if I did wrong there, but do you have any idea the
the odds against somebody winning that many times in a row?
She inherited it from her grandmother.
Grandma was a card shark?
No, it's the ability to see things sometimes. They call it St. Columba's gift around here.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is, I could use some.
Her grandmother, she could read tea leaves and she could tell you whether your baby would be a boy or a girl. I didn't inherit it, but Lucy did.
The only thing I got from my grandmother was bad eyes.
Oh, no, I think you have nice eyes.
She stops herself.
What I meant was that I'm farsighted.
This bag is for you. It has the rest of Dr. Abernathy's things in it. Adrian thought that you could,
Right.
Take it back with you.
Right.
Right. Good night, Mr. Dempsey. See you tomorrow.
John.
She turns back and gives him an awkward little smile, then goes. In Isabel's room, she closes a drawer, picks up a cuddly toy, and sits by Isabel's bed.
All right. I'll see you in the morning. Sleep well.
Will we be hurt very much if Mr. Dempsey goes home tomorrow, Mummy?
Of course not, what a question.
Perhaps you won't go.
Why'd you say that?
Because I don't want him to end up again.
Isabel, whatever makes you think that?
You look at him. I've never seen you do that.
Well, of course I look at him. What else am I supposed to do? It's nice to be pleasant to guests, but you can't make them your friends. I've told you that before.
Yes, Mummy.
Now go to sleep, please.
Yes, Mummy.
Stop yes mummying me like that. He's a guest, that's all. And don't give me that I know what you're thinking, look, either.
He'll stay if you ask him.
Good night.
Sleep tight.
Don't let the bedbugs bite.
If they do, use dynamite. Mr. Dempsey taught me that.
Laura opens the bathroom door to find Dempsey banging on a tap with a brush.
Problem?
Yeah, I don't seem to have a knack.
It has a slight Highlands temperament. Needs a little encouragement here.
She opens a cupboard and fiddles around with the pipes. Dempsey comes over and watches over her shoulder.
Need any help?
No, the air just needs to be taken out the pipes. Can you watch the taps and tell me when the water arrives?
Yeah, I can do that. I'm a PhD. Yeah, I hear something.
It's running, touch wood.
Touch wood? Back home and knock on it.
They look into each other's eyes.
You'll be leaving us in the morning. Will you be requiring breakfast?
No, thanks.
Well, it's included in the price.
I realise that.
Well, if you want to, you can always change your mind.
About what?
Breakfast.
Right.
Their eyes linger on each other. Then Laura leaves. Shafts of moonlight spill through the heavy, dark clouds over the loch. Lights glow in the windows of the cottages by the bank. Laura sits in bed and runs her fingers through her hair. Dempsey stares out of his window at the night. He turns back, walks over to his bed, and picks up a bag. Laura turns on her bedside lamp and sits up restlessly, drawing her knees up to her chest and wrapping her arms around them. Dempsey empties Dr. Abernathy's bag onto a bed and looks through his predecessor's belongings. He finds the doctor's camera and looks through the viewfinder. He glances at the camera's frame counter and his expression becomes serious. He goes into the bathroom, turns on a red-tinted light above the mirror, and puts the reel of film down on a shelf. Bleary-eyed Adrian opens his door to find Dempsey standing there.
We're going out again. Let's go. You can bring your pillow, but let's go. Come on.
Their boat cuts through the water as dawn breaks over the loch. Adrian and Dempsey are in the control room.
Tell me something, Adrian. Where were you the night Abernathy got himself killed?
I was at the Moffat Arms.
But he left alone, right?
Aye. He'd had a few malts, said he needed some air. I offered to drive him home, but he wouldn't let me.
Yeah, but then he wouldn't have seen it.
Seen what?
That is the last photo on his roll. And that is not the tail of a diving otter. It's not a vegetable mat. It's not even a soliton. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you something. My guess is it's part of something very large and very much alive.
Adrian looks up from the photo of the large fin. The boat ploughs on across the loch. Isabel and the water bailiff walk along one of the rocky banks. Isabel scoops an empty bottle into her little fishing net and drops it into the bailiff's bucket.
Why do people keep doing this?
Well, some people don't respect the loch. They upset the waters.
He looks across at Dempsey's boat.
Somehow, it got by us. Maybe it's hiding.
Adrian looks at a monitor.
What are they?
He points. Dempsey looks at the monitor, then glances at another screen.
Salmon.
Adrian stares at the image.
Look at them all.
You notice anything unusual about them?
Like what?
Like they weren't there yesterday. Like where the hell did that come from?
An object appears on a sonar tracking screen.
Is that more salmon?
Oh, see, that's a separate object.
Mm-hmm.
Chasing the salmon. Thrifted.
Eel. Could be a conger eel.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, that's still coming. No, that's a big vertebrate. Sturgeon, yeah? Sturgeon, maybe.
Still coming.
Oh, my. That's 9 feet.
That's 17. That's 40 feet long.
It could be a submerged vegetable mat.
Yeah, maybe. No.
Fire up the strobes.
It's moving this way. It's coming towards the surface.
Where are the damn cameras?
All recording.
Hold this steady. Hold.
Cameras, it's moving too fast.
Hold this steady.
It's moving too fast. It's moving too fast. I've lost.
15 knots. That's 15 knots. That's coming straight at us.
They brace themselves for impact. The boat jolts violently, and Adrian and Dempsey are thrown across the cabin.
Dr. Dempsey!
Water gushes into the cabin, and Adrian can't see Dempsey. Within seconds, Adrian is underwater as the boat sinks. Adrian, wearing jeans and a yellow waterproof coat, sinks as the suction from the boat pulls him down. Dempsey also sinks into the depths of the water, along with an enamel mug and his bottle of whiskey. He doesn't move and appears to be unconscious. A large dark shadow hangs behind him in the water. Adrian surfaces.
Dr. Dempsey! Die!
He submerges for a moment, then pops his head up again. Dempsey's head pops out of the water and he floats unconscious. Adrian swims over and grabs him, then tries to make for the shore. The water bailiff rumbles by in his little wooden boat.
Is he dead, Levy?
Now on the boat, Adrian gives Dempsey the kiss of life while the water bailiff looks on. Dempsey coughs up water.
Alive! Alive! Look! He's alive!
I saw it. It's down there. Oh, I saw it.
Get!
In the pub.
I swear to God, I saw it. I swear to you, I saw it. I gotta get out there again.
You're going nowhere until you see a doctor.
Oh, my God. It's true, isn't it? You said you'd seen it. You did.
No,
you
I've did. Never seen anything. I was just giving you a tourist story.
Well, I have. I've seen it. Oh, God. I feel like...
He hugs her, and they suddenly kiss passionately, bumping into a shelf and knocking off pans. Isabel watches them from the doorway.
John! Stop!
No, I'm sorry.
Izzy, did you want a drink or something?
Izzy, water, probably. Here we go. Anyway, that's your Basic mouth-to-mouth method. It's a good thing that Adrian was up on his life-saving. Help me with this here.
Did Adrian kiss you, Mr. Dempsey?
They've both poured a glass of water and Laura tips hers away.
You stay right where you are. I'm going to call a doctor.
You don't have to do that.
Did you see the guilty?
Yes, I did. I think I did. Yeah. Whoa, what?
Would you like to see it again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. Of course I would, yeah.
Later, Dempsey's out in a little wooden boat with Adrian.
Dr. Mercer called about what happened. I'm sorry, but he's coming over.
Dempsey stares at the water.
Look, to be quite honest with you, I should tell you that I didn't actually see something out there today. I mean, I didn't see a monster. I'd like to say that I had seen something, but I couldn't honestly back you up or anything. I mean, it is going to be a bit difficult to do any more without any equipment, isn't it? Huh? I mean, it's not as if we
can... It's down there. It's out there.
I know it is.
A figure pops up in a diving suit.
Go away, you charlatans! Stay away from my monster!
He's not your monster, he's my monster! I saw him first, you hear me? My monster!
Gordon Shoals, the crazy man from the island, swims off, barking. Dempsey sits down quietly, and Adrian watches him. Dempsey sits in the kitchen at the pub. A glass of scotch and the photo of the large fin lie on the table in front of him. Laura runs over to the bar to answer the phone.
Hello? Yeah, Dr. Mercer, did you say? Yes, that's right, John Dempsey. Yes. I'm sorry, but he left here yesterday. I said we're closed for the season. Have you tried the Isle of Skye?
She puts the phone down, then looks into the kitchen and gives Dempsey a little smile before walking off. Dempsey ponders, then stands up and walks towards the bar. Dempsey looks down the hallway after Laura, then comes back into the kitchen and opens the back door. He's punched in the face by Andy, who strides in after him and thumps him over the table.
Get up, Yank.
Andy sends Dempsey flying into the bar. Old Tommy picks up two bottles of scotch and gives Laura the emptiest one.
Hit him again and I'll dank you!
You wouldn't dare.
He hits Dempsey, so she smashes the bottle over his head. Dempsey's in bed and she cleans his wounds.
Thank you for standing up to him.
Lights went out pretty quick. Did I touch him at all?
Well, why? You did. You got a few in.
Liar.
Now you stay right where you are. I'm going to put some comfrey on those cuts. You're going to live, John.
Touch wood.
She goes to the door.
Is he? What are you doing up?
I made something for Mr. Dempsey. Night-night.
Night-night.
Dynamite.
Laura gives Dempsey the homemade card that Isabel made. On the front is written, "Get well, Dr. Dimsey."
You're so sweet.
Laura closes the door. Dempsey looks across at her, and they gaze at each other. Dempsey puts the card to one side, and Laura walks over to the bed. She crouches down, and Dempsey gently touches her cheek. She lets her face rest in his hand, kissing his palm.
The American. Very nice. Very good looking.
I bought some bonny socks.
She sits on the edge of the bed, then leans over and kisses him. She turns off the bedside lamp.
Mona McFedridge. You're such a scandal.
Moonlight ripples over the calm waters of the loch. Amber early morning sunshine creeps up over the hilltops. The waters wind their way between sloping banks of rich green grass. Rain comes down, forming a large puddle on the roadway outside the Moffat Arms. In his room, bare-chested Dempsey lies in bed. He reaches for Isabel's card and reads it. He opens the card and grins at what's inside. He lays the card down on his bed. Inside, Isabel's drawn a picture of a large dinosaur-type creature swimming in the loch. Dempsey suddenly grabs the card again and compares Isabel's drawing with Dr. Abernathy's photo of the fin. The fin on Isabel's creature is uncannily accurate. Dempsey goes to Isabel's room and pushes the door open. She's asleep. She stirs, but doesn't wake.
Mr. Dempsey.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry if I woke you. I was on the way to the bathroom.
Oh.
He holds up the card.
Do you like my Get Well card?
Yeah, yes. It's fantastic. It's the perfect elasmosaur. Right down to the rhomboid frontal, see?
No, Mr. Dempsey, it's a water kelpie.
So this is your kelpie?
It's my friend.
Are you telling me you actually saw...
Aye.
Hi.
You're laughing at me. You don't believe me. No one does. I shouldn't have drawn it.
No, I'm not laughing at you. It's just that... I have to see it before I can believe it.
No, Mr. Dempsey. You've got to believe it before you can see it.
She looks up at him with wide eyes.
I believe you. And I want to see it.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. More than anything in the world.
Do you know what I want more than anything else in the world?
Yeah, what?
A red bicycle.
That's a deal. It's a deal.
It's a secret you can't tell. You can't bring Bruce because he barks.
Wait for me.
Come on, Mr. Dempsey.
Isabel leads him towards the water bailiff's castle.
Please be quick, Mr. Dempsey.
Slow down. Wait.
He follows her down a flight of spiralling stone stairs. Dempsey walks along a dark, narrow stone passageway, then makes his way down more stairs.
Isabel? Oh, boy. Okay. Joke's over. Where are you, Isabel? Holy moly.
Oh. Daddy!
Well, that's great. I'm a grown-up. How am I supposed to fit through that?
You can hold your tummy in.
I'm gonna hold my tummy. Thank you very much. This whole country is made for midgets. Wet, frozen midgets. Ah, oh, jeez. That's great. Now I'm stuck.
Please be quick, Mr. Dempsey.
Please be quick, Mr. Dempsey.
Dempsey squeezes down a narrow hole and shines his torch.
Oh, this is crazy. Where'd you go?
He walks down a few more stairs. Then his eyes widen in wonder. Up ahead is a wide cave. Shafts of sunlight spill through the cave roof and shimmer on the rippling water of a lagoon.
Oh my God, this place is amazing.
Turn the light off, it scares them.
He turns off his torch.
Be very still.
Dempsey sits down beside Isabel on the edge of the lagoon.
Where are we?
Shh. Listen.
She points at bubbles rising to the surface of the water. The water foams as something swims to the rocks in front of Isabel and Dempsey. Dempsey stares in excitement, then jumps back nervously. A couple of dark brown otters climb out of the water.
Sea otters.
A thought hits him.
Oh my God. Sea otters. Water kelpies. Aquatic mustelids.
Isabel grins at him.
Come on, Izzy.
Let's go.
He gets up and walks away.
I've had enough.
Behind him, a huge dinosaur-like creature raises its head out of the water on its long, flexible neck. Dempsey stares in astonishment. The creature looks down on Isabel.
Yes, yes.
The creature lowers its head towards her, then dips its mouth into the water and picks up some weed.
Isabel, don't move. Okay. It's all right. I've got you.
She's just playing.
Isabel makes the call sound to the creature, who lowers its head towards her. His mouth hanging open, Dempsey puts Isabel down. She runs across the rocks, making the call. Dempsey looks like he can't believe his eyes as a second creature raises its head. The two creatures brush their heads against each other. Dempsey gazes at one of the vast, greeny-grey-skinned amphibians. He reaches out to touch it, then steps back, laughing. Isabel stands on a rock, spinning around and making the call to the creatures. Dempsey takes his camera out of his pocket and points it at the creatures.
No!
It flashes. And again.
No!
Spooked, the creatures jolt their heads up, knocking stalactites from the cave roof. Dempsey jumps out of the way of the falling rock.
Izzy! Izzy!
Both Isabel and the creatures are gone. Dempsey jumps into the water to try and find her.
Izzy!
He looks around, then goes back under. Searching through the murky depths, he sees Isabel's red coat and grabs it. He surfaces, holding the coat, and spots Isabel climbing out of the other side of the lagoon. She looks back at him as he swims over to her. As he reaches the edge of the lagoon, the water bailiff's stick slams down onto the rock. Dempsey looks up at the bailiff, then grabs the stick and climbs out of the water.
Are you okay?
I told you about the lights.
I'm sorry. I am...
Damn you to hell. You had no right.
The water bailiff glares at him. Isabel heads back up the stone steps and Dempsey picks up the camera.
Come on, come on. Oh no, 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 no.
The photos are useless.
This can't be. Come on, please, please.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
Oh God, yes. Oh, 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 the head. God, yes.
You could have killed her. Just for yourself. That's all that matters. Use people as long as you get what you want. Using me, I mean, I should have known better, but to use a child.
No, it wasn't like that.
Oh, yes, and what was it like? She nearly drowned.
Laura.
Don't you touch me, Don't you
all right,
dare.
All right, all right. Look. Look what I have. Come on, look at it.
Yeah, you got your precious monster. Got your Scottish souvenir. I hope you got your money's worth.
A man's here.
Laura marches off, leaving Dempsey standing in the hallway.
No, come on.
Out by the lock, Dempsey shows the crystal clear photo of one of the creatures to Dr. Mercer. Adrian stands beside Mercer and points at the picture.
It's a convergent subspecies. It's a hybrid of plesiosaur and alasimosaur.
You actually saw this?
Now, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Now, you're saying that this is the real thing you saw? No, I don't believe it. I can't believe it. It's not possible. I don't believe it. You saw it, didn't you? You did. Yeah, all right. I believe it. I believe it. You had a feeling. I knew there was something.
You told anyone?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Let's keep it quiet. Till after the press conference. I'll call London today. Have a symposium. The Royal Academy tomorrow. You have a suit? You? You have a suit?
No!
Hello? What is this? Money. Hello?
Dempsey goes into the pub kitchen.
Mr. Dempsey.
Huh?
Your bill is in your room. I believe it's as we agreed.
Wait a minute. Let me explain.
About what?
This is crazy.
You've solved your mystery, John. You've found your missing link. You can leave now.
No, I found a colony of prehistoric animals. Look at this.
I'm very
They're
happy
alive.
For you.
Hey, it's not just for me. This is going to be good for all of us. Don't you realize that? Come on, Laura. You're going to have scientists, marine biologists. Every lab and university in the world is going to want to stay here.
You mean when they turn the loch into Marineland with the Kelpie performing tricks for a few sardines?
It's not going to be like that. This is science.
But how'd you stop it? Will you be there, along with the other 10 million nature lovers, queuing for a McNessie burger?
What do you want me to do? You want me to ignore this? You want me to pretend that I didn't see this?
That's up to you.
Oh, come on. Look at this. Can you see that? I've waited my entire life for this.
Good.
Oh, come on, you're not even looking at it!
I don't want to look at them, don't you get it? I don't want to know anything about them. There's some things that are meant to be left alone. I would have thought that you would have understood them.
She walks away.
Wait a minute.
She stops and turns back.
Where's Isabel?
She doesn't want to see you. She trusted you, John.
Laura goes into the kitchen and closes the door behind her. Old Tommy comes into the bar and points at Dempsey.
Here, that's 3 drams, laddie, and you might catch a wee glimpse of the beast of the day.
Dempsey takes the photos and goes. Isabel stands on the pebbly bank, staring out at the loch. Dempsey walks up behind her and sits down on the pebbles.
Hi, Izzy.
Why did you do it? You scared it away. They'll never come back.
No. Yes, they will. I'm sorry. Don't be upset. It's not your fault.
It is my fault. I did wrong.
No, you didn't. No, see, I don't think it's something that you and I can just keep to ourselves. I think it's something we have to share with everybody.
Why do we? I only want to show you. I thought you liked me.
I do like you.
She stares at him sadly.
Are you going?
He nods, then shakes his head.
I would do anything not to hurt you. You gotta believe me, Izzy. It's just that I don't know what. See, there's nothing I can do right now.
She walks away, then runs off towards home. A train thunders along a main line with Adrian Dempsey and Dr. Mercer on board. Adrian taps Dempsey on the shoulder.
Eh?
by tomorrow morning, you just may be the most famous man in the whole world.
Huh? I need a drink. You want anything?
I don't drink. I've got a ticket up windsurfing, though.
The Royal Academy's too small. We're in the Natural History Museum instead. No. I'm not blowing off Larry King. I'm saying it's fine if we can do it by satellite. Because I'll be here. Adam, get the phone. The phone.
Oh. Hello?
What?
Hello?
Dempsey sits alone at a table in the buffet car. The water bailiff places a whiskey miniature in front of him.
Have another. It's a celebration.
If you're going to hang my head from a horse's mane, I wish you'd get it over with.
Oh, no, sir, I wouldn't do that now. Oh, no, you've beaten the loch. There's no disputing that. Savor it is my advice. May I...
The bailiff sits facing Dempsey across the table.
Yes, let's see, 1953 was the first time that I went to London. I didn't think too much of it. And I swore to myself that if ever I went back, it would have to be for a very good reason.
We both know why you're here, so let's not play games. We cannot let the survival of the last specimens of the Ice Age depend solely on the work of one man. It doesn't make any sense. Science can take care of them professionally.
The sad thing is that you really believe that, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
It wasn't exactly science that helped your discovery, was it? It was a wee girl, 9 years of age. And wasn't it your precious science that gave us all this acid rain and pollution and warming air in the first place?
The bailiff narrows his eyes.
These creatures have survived for 15,000 years without your help, Mr. Dempsey. What makes you think that you're so special, eh?
Dempsey stares at him, and he looks down uncomfortably.
This is very hard for me. I'm a proud man, and I have never asked anybody for anything in my life, as I'm asking you now. Don't do this, Mr. Dempsey.
The two men fix their eyes on each other. The water bailiff turns away.
Ah, well.
He stands and walks over to a window.
Well, I have a loch to tend to.
Dempsey hands him his green canvas bag.
Thank you. Safe journey to you.
Dempsey watches the water bailiff walk off down the aisle. Evening falls over the River Thames. London, England. Big Ben looms over the Houses of Parliament and Westminster Bridge. Traffic files down a central London street.
Is the mystery of Loch Ness finally solved? The world's media is gathering tonight at the Natural History Museum in London, where a new American underwater survey will claim to have discovered definitive evidence of the existence of the Loch Ness monster.
Crowds make their way into the Natural History Museum. A television van pulls up outside. Reporters photograph the guests on their way in. In a large, elegant hall, guests mingle and chat beside a vast, long-necked dinosaur skeleton. Adrian walks through the guests. Dempsey, wearing a smart suit, sits on a wooden rail, gazing up at the huge skeleton. Adrian taps him on the shoulder and says a few words before walking on. Dr. Mercer calls over.
John.
Dempsey comes over.
Scott, lead on, Macbeth.
Certainly.
Mercer walks with Dempsey.
I'm seeing two miracles tonight. One is a man rising from the dead.
It's good to be alive again, Bob.
Nice suit, John.
Guests file up a large, ornate staircase. In a conference hall, guests sit in arch-shaped rows and applaud as Mercer steps up behind a lectern.
Thank you, Dr. Benz.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening.
When I began my expedition to the Loch, it was based only on a hunch. But as we all know, so many discoveries have been made by using a little imagination and bending the rules. Like Newton, Galileo. And with this in mind, I asked my colleague, Dr. Jonathan Dempsey, to concentrate his efforts on the scientific enigma of Loch Ness. I'll ask him now to present you with his findings. Dr. Dempsey?
Mercer returns to his seat and Dempsey steps up behind the lectern. Photographers take pictures of him and a man runs over to take Dempsey's photographs of the creature.
I used to dream about this when I was a kid. But I have to admit, this is much more overwhelming than I thought it would be.
He looks down pensively.
I'd like to say that I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the confidence and the trust of the architect of this study, Dr. Robert Mercer.
Mercer nods graciously, and the head of the museum, chubby, balding Dr. Binns, slaps Mercer on the shoulder. Dempsey looks out at his expectant audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, the mystery of Loch Ness solved. Nessusaurus Maurus.
The lights go down, and on a screen behind him a picture is projected. It's grey, blurry and indistinct. Another picture is just as unclear.
Good Mercury. Balls up the slides.
What's going on?
You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry. I apologize. Ladies and gentlemen, sit down, Bob. Sit down.
You know, I canceled dinner for this.
It's all right. Just a mistake.
I hope so.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you see this next picture, I hope you have the courage to ask yourself the question, where's Waldo?
Waldo? What's Waldo?
The next picture is projected. It's Isabel's drawing of the creature from Dempsey's Get Well card. Mercer and Binns look mortified, and the guests stand up to leave. Mercer looks over at the lectern, but Dempsey's gone. Dr. Binns fields questions.
As far as we're concerned, this is purely a medical. Who's what? Who's what? I have no idea who Waldo is.
Mercer smiles and tries to reassure people. Dempsey strolls down the corridor, and Adrian catches up to him.
Listen to me. The whole thing was a ridiculous hoax. I never saw them. I had the pictures made up by computer before I even came. Please.
John Dempsey, you are either the biggest bloody fool I ever lived, or you are the biggest bloody fool I ever lived.
Thank you. Thank you for everything.
Where are you going?
Home.
He walks off.
Good luck.
Mercer and Binns.
Scotland on the pier, he saw the pictures.
Tell Dr. Binns about the photos.
A crowd stands behind them, and all eyes are on Adrian.
What photos would they be exactly?
Well?
Dr. Binns fixes an accusing stare on Mercer.
I'm waiting.
Mercer sighs heavily. A bus drives along a narrow country road surrounded by grassy meadows and tall rugged hills and drives alongside the loch. On board is the water bailiff. He unzips his bag and reaches inside, then finds a large brown envelope. He looks puzzled, takes out the envelope and tears it open. He reaches inside and takes out a photo. He stares at the photo, and a broad smile falls across his face. He He grins and holds his hand to his mouth, apparently overcome with emotion. He puts the envelope back into his bag and zips it up, then takes off his hat and punches it down triumphantly. The bus carries on along the winding country road. An amber sunrise bathes the lock in a sheen of golden light. At the Moffat Arms, Isabel is in Laura's bed as she reads a story.
Marietti had not been asleep. She had been lying under her knitted coverlet, staring up at the ceiling. That was an interesting ceiling. Pod had built Arietti's bedroom out of two cigar boxes, and on the ceiling, lovely painted ladies dressed in... What is it?
There's a car block in the drive.
They both leap out of bed, run to the window and open the curtains. Still in her nightshirt, Laura runs out of the pub and puts on her wellies, followed by Isabel in her pyjamas. Dempsey is parked outside with a shiny red bike on the roof rack of his little hatchback. Laura runs over and knocks on his window.
Do you realise that you're blocking the drive?
I do now.
Well, what do you intend to do about it?
What would you like me to do about it?
He opens the door, grabs her wrist and pulls her into the car with him. While they kiss, excited Isabel runs in and out of the pub. Down in the depths of the lock, the two creatures swim together, followed by a young one. ITFC audio description.
Machine.